Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Simon Barrett, and welcome to the program. With it being Easter, we're missing a couple of our regular panel members. In fact, right now, due to some technical problems, we're missing them all. While I try and straighten it out, let me play some music for you. I recently bumped into a guy by the name of Jeff Ferris. And Jeff obviously felt obliged to call his band Ferris and the Wheels. I mean, what a great name. He came up with a song that I just can't get out of my head. And the video that accompanies it is simply marvelous. The title is Can't Buy Yourself. And it's all about bullying. Anyway, enjoy it.
Yeah, you can sail away
Okay, I do believe we have the infamous Sam Moffey with us.
I'm here.
Did you like the song, by the way?
I loved it.
All right, that was by a guy by the name of Jeff Ferris, and he has the unique moniker for his band, Ferris and the Wheels.
It was very nice. It almost sounded like Tokyo Rose, Rosenthal.
Not at all. Now,
don't forget, I'm deaf in my right ear.
And the song, which has the most marvelous video to accompany it.
Really?
Yeah, I'll send you a link after we're done. It's all about school bullies. And you're a teacher, so you might have come across the subject of bullying.
You know what? As a sub, we don't get it with what I'm looking for. We know they give us a little handbook, and we've taken some classes on it. I've talked to some other teachers, and it's something they don't want to talk about. You know what I mean? The teachers, the administrators, I go, what are your rules? If I see anybody, they just kind of all shy away. It's like, let's hope it doesn't happen. Yet there are, and we talked about a little about it last week, about the bullying thing. And there was a case here in the school system I was in, there's lawsuits flying back and forth between these. Actually, used to be two best friends, lived next door to each other. They got into a huge fist fight over something. And the one, the family filed a restraining order against the one daughter, and the two girls are like 15 years old. And the one daughter keeps making sure she passes her in the hallway in the schools. And even though there's a restraining order, so now they have to have some big, huge meeting Monday at the school board on how they're going to handle the situation. She was attacked. The victim was bullied, was attacked. Her kneecap was broken. Her mother didn't want to put her back into the school and just, go somewhere else, blah, blah, blah. But the child wants to go back to the school. She had other friends and this and that. And was just bullied by her ex-best friend and, how about this, the next-door neighbors. And the houses are, like, separated by a driveway. You know what I mean?
Right.
So can you imagine? I mean, it's just to make matters worse for the perpetrator, the bullier, a local media went to report on this case on Good Friday. The girl who's the perpetrator reported there, saw the family and her victim being interviewed. She went and started a fight with the reporter.
Wow.
Right. It was all on news and all that stuff. But and the system, it just doesn't know how. And just getting quotes from the superintendent and some of the other people who are going to be involved in this decision-making, school board members, it's like they didn't know what to do. They gave it the standard, we're against bullying and blah, blah, blah. And then when pressed for more detail by the reporter, who did a good job, it was pretty, they weren't ready for it. I don't think the schools are ready for this bullying, how to deal with the bullying.
Oh, okay, but... Yeah, I'm going to go back to last week. What has spurred on the onslaught?
What most of the people are bullied for? I think from what I've and then I read some. There was a report. The woman I substituted for happened to deal with a lot of the autistic children at the school. So she had like a little pamphlet on things and incidents that were going on and left it for me in case something happened and what to do. And the majority of the bullying is perpetrated by people who either A, think, let's say their victim, for lack of a better term, ratted them out. They were drinking, underage drinking, having sex, maybe looking at something. You know what I mean? The standard things that teenagers do. But the victims, the bullier either was acting on rumors or, you know, whatever, or maybe even actual facts, that their friend ratted them out, whether it was to other friends, to family, parents, or whatnot. That's number one. That's the number one thing, is that someone got ratted out, and then the bullier then gets other people around to put, you know, to make that person, you know, a rat, you know, for lack of a better term. The other thing, of course, all has to do with physical, and our, what are we? We're obsessed with the way people look, aren't we not? You and I, but the majority of people are. Well, it's worse with the kid. You're fat. You're autistic. You're stupid. You're a doomcuff. You're deformed. You got acne, you know. It's bad enough when you go into school and you got bad acne, right? I did. I didn't need someone to point it out to me. Well, and then most of the time, most people didn't. Oh, and I never went up to somebody and go, hey, zit face, you know, something like that. But that appears to be the norm now. If you don't look like a member of the master race, perfect skin, perfect hair, big boobs if you're a girl, guys with big muscles and all that stuff. I'm not talking blonde hair, blue eyes. It's the master race of good looks. You're probably going to be cyberbullied. And then I think in the case of this other woman, this young girl that's gotten play, she was being victimized because she allegedly ratted out on the other kids' underage drinking, and over the summer, and then she was caught, and they beat her with a baseball bat. I mean, they busted up her knee.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but no one could, and they're claiming, and you know, the first punch is pretty bad. I mean, I it's almost maybe in the what I've heard about it, you can almost say is it bullying or was it just what's what I'm looking for? I don't know. I don't think this one was bullying as much as it was.
Wild violence.
Wild violence. Pissed off violence. Over the top reaction. You know, you get in trouble for underage drinking and or someone, you know, whatever, and you retaliated because you got suspended. Or see, what happened in the summer? They didn't get arrested. Nothing happened to them, so they got grounded. Big deal. Whatever was a big deal because she was a rat, and they beat her up pretty bad. And so that's the case. That's, yeah, but I can understand the other things, and they were talking, I just can't imagine, but it happened. Those of the master race walk around and make fun of everybody. And the key is, you know, if it's one-on-one, you might be able to deal with it. But when you've got 75 people sending you text messages on your Facebook, on your Twitter page, maybe writing stuff, in the cafeteria, in the after school, wherever they're picking on, riding on the bus, I mean, and it happens day, hour upon hour upon hour. That's probably pretty intense stuff to have to deal with, whereas opposed to when I was bullied, it ended when I got home. I wasn't subject to text messages. I wasn't subject to an email, an instant message, a Facebook post. You know what I'm saying?
So right.
You could literally be cyberbullied 24 hours a day.
Yeah. And
you know?
This bothers me a
lot.
It
bothers me too. Yeah, it bothers me too.
Yeah, my idea of being bullied, well, I mentioned it last week. I threw the guy down the flight of stairs.
Yeah. I mean, I overreacted once. You know, we all snap. I was being, I guess, lack of a better term, bullied. I had a prominent big nose, and I'm deaf in my right ear. I was a target for some guys, and I just couldn't handle it anymore. And overreacted, and you know, as you always do, because rage is something, you know, the Hulk, the inner Hulk in us. We all have an inner Hulk in us that we could just, you know, go crazy with, you know, and that's what happens. And you know, and maybe, you know, and that's why, you know, the kid who stabbed, you know, I don't know if that kid, but if the wrong person pushed the wrong way, instead of lashing out at the person hurting them, they seem to now, I'm going to latch out at 20 of them. But then I'm thinking, wait a minute, maybe all 20 of those people were ganging up on this guy, because that's the thing. It becomes the mob mentality. You know what I mean? It becomes a mob mentality where, like, hey, let's go hang the son of a bitch, just like you see in the old cowboy movies. And they run in and they hang the guy, no trial, and it always turns out to be the Oxbow incident, you know? Right. And so so I know, yeah, it's a bother you, and it bothers me because I think it's going to get worse. And then I think now the kid snaps. We've all snapped, okay? But I snapped once as a kid a long time ago. I didn't want to go get a gun and kill anybody. I did want to kill this kid, but I ended up pushing him down, punching him a couple of times. I probably didn't even hurt somebody when I punched him. I was so light, but you know that was it. And that was the end of that. You know, the idea of and I could see it, you know, with the clicks, you know, clicks, right? So you get a click, and let's say someone gets outcast in the clicks for whatever they do. Like I said, in today, 24/7, you'd be abused. And then let's say, so your mom and dad go, okay, well, shut off your Facebook page. But let's say this kid loved his Facebook page. He got in contact with other people. He liked to poke pictures of himself or herself. Wonderful, never had anything bad on it. Now, because he's being bullied on his Facebook page, and he enjoys it, or she enjoys it, now they can't use it. Now they can't use Twitter. Now they can't use Digit. Now they can't use Blog News Network. Now they have to change the cell phone numbers. But, of course, someone will find out what the number is. I mean, any other, you know, it's going to pile on. It's going to pile on. So then that kid is going to be so pissed off and snap, grades are probably going to suffer, might get into some drugs, you know, bop, 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 you know, because of – and – it's no wonder that the kids lash out. Shouldn't be, and I don't think unless they have other friends, good parents, caring parents, maybe a great teacher here, a great guidance counselor. You know, if it's going to be a problem.
All right, I want to come back to this subject later, but. Mm-hmm. For now, let's button it up. Today is Easter Sunday, and for the past several days, my wife has been glued to all things Easter on the TV. I didn't realize there were that many movies out there, but there are. You know, I on the other hand, have been on a Douglas Adams marathon. I just love The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Today is a day that's honored by most Christian cultures, but what really is it? Is it a pagan holiday that came into being as a result of Constantine the Great and the Council of Nicaea?
Yeah, well, you know, it's a really interesting compare-contrast. You know, if you think about it, by the way, you know, I have never seen food fly off the shelves like I do during Easter Sunday in my community. If you go, don't get to the grocery store before Friday or Good Friday in our town. There's no food left at the grocery store. It's like an evacuation. There's no, you know, it's just amazing to me. I mean, there's more food. There's more people running to the local our local groceries than over Thanksgiving or Christmas. And I wouldn't doubt if this is one of the most, if not the most expensive, big payday for big Easter lilies, Easter chocolates, cards, which is what I'm looking for, highest grossing holidays. I wouldn't doubt it on a different level because of what I see being done. And there's still a lot of gifts being given today, too. But I walked my dogs. It was a beautiful day here. It's in the 70s. I walked our dogs. One neighbor was having a big Easter hunt. You know, it was just about 10 o'clock this morning, Eastern Standard Time. You know, the little Easter bunnies, everybody had the little Easter baskets, and they were running around and doing the little things, and the grandparents were watching, et cetera, okay? And the next neighbor had a cross in the yard with a purple cloth, purple scarf on, over around the cross. and on it, of course, it said In Re. And my wife and I look at each other and we go, geez, what a, on one hand, they got the pagan holiday of the Easter Bunny, because that used to be a spring light, the bunny, right? The fertility, isn't that, do I have that right, Simon?
Yes, you
the Easter Bunny was all
do.
About a pagan holiday for spring was here, and it's a fertility holiday because bunnies give lots of little bunnies, right?
Right. It was all to do with the spring equinox.
That's it. Right. So it's pagan. It's as pagan as they come, right?
Right.
you see, on one hand, you see all these people celebrating the paganism and chocolate Easter bunnies and Easter egg hunts and all that. And then the other ones, you see the church parking lots are filled with people celebrating Christ has risen from the grave. It's a real, like, wow. And I don't think people do both. So maybe they do. I think those that celebrate the Easter Bunny celebrate the Easter Bunny. And they don't think they get all dressed up in their Sunday best. Maybe they do, and then go pray, and then go deal with the fact that, Christ has risen today. And vice versa. I can't see these people all dressed up in their church pews run back home, take off their Sunday's best or Easter bonnets or whatnot, and run around and play with the Easter bunny, or have their kids have taken pictures with the giant bunny. I may be wrong. Maybe most do both. I don't think that happened. And then it begs the question: Why do we celebrate this pagan ritual of spring equinox in the form of the Easter bunny, Easter baskets, on the day that Christ is allegedly risen? How did that come about?
Right. Well,
is that big business at its best? I guess it would be, huh?
Right. I'll go back to how I started this conversation. I think it was Constantine the Great and the Council of Nicaea. All right. That they if you look at what they were trying to achieve, it was very much to finalize what would be in the quote Bible, and join together some differing factions.
If we go by the Bible, right? Christ is risen. And didn't say, and as they all ran and saw that Christ, the gravestone had been removed, and Christ wasn't in there. There wasn't a basket of Easter goodies in there. That's why I don't get it. It's not in the, so how are we on one hand? It really is, and it's been a topic of conversation all weekend at my house with my friends and some people we had over. And I said, look, I'm Jewish, okay? Why don't you call this Bad Friday? Why do you call this Good Friday? I don't understand. Shouldn't this be Horrible Friday, Horrific Friday? And shouldn't Sunday be Good Sunday because that's when he rose from the dead and joined his father? I mean, I don't understand this. And I'm just trying to be logical. I wasn't trying to be funny or sarcastic or whatnot. And I go, and I have some serious Jewish friends who hate this holiday because they see it as the beginning of the persecution of Jews for centuries, because they were blamed for killing Christ. It's a lot of people, it's a very interesting subject, that we're on here, and of course it brings in the religion, but what's crazy, as you pointed out, it's the Easter Bunny is a pagan spring ritual that you think most, that had to deal with, fertility. Something that most Christians scream about, can't stand the fact that people have premarital sex, for crying out loud. Yep, that's what it was for.
Absolutely.
It's a very interesting subject.
It was the beginning of the new beginning.
That's being spring, right? Being, is that what you mean, the new beginning? Or is it... you're talking about Christ.
Well, I'm talking about the pagans.
They
had enough of the cold wintry months.
I mean, you got to think at least the pagans at some point they went from sacrificing people and probably eating them to at least having a bunny as a representative for, fertility. You know,
right.
But
I'm
amazed by this, and I wish it was more talked about by people. A friend of mine who I was out with on Friday. He broke his shoulder, so he's been laid up a lot. And all week long, maybe like your wife Jen, he wasn't watching movies. He was watching the History Channel all week long because he was fascinated by how these professors around the world were using a approach to the Bible of why they think certain words in the Bible were meant to be X, but turned out to be interpreted to be Y, and the one word they talked about was that he was obsessed was because he was the Virgin Mary. That when it went from Arabic to Greek, the Greeks put the word virgin in, but the Arabs didn't. When the Arabics were telling the story of the birth of Jesus or Mary, they didn't mean her to be a virgin. See, they had they had translated it wrong, and it just went, it came to that lot thing. I go, oh, so you're talking basically these Bible scholars and other people were saying lost in translation as it went from Arabic to Greek to Latin to whatnot. Different words meant different things.
Right.
Right? I mean, that's what he said. He said he was obsessed with it. That's all he was watching all week long because he couldn't really move that much on the painkillers the History Channel and the biblical interpretations of words and how that's had profound effects on, upward to today, because people never went back and corrected the translation to say, what were they really meaning?
Right. And let's face it, no one spoke or written Aramaic for quite a long time.
Right. Like, who knows how much was, where does it go and, whatnot. But, where it started, obviously, there wasn't we didn't have the type of stuff that we have nowadays back then where they could have easily translated these words and these stories and the sermons and all that stuff. If Jan's been watching the movies King of Kings and all that stuff, right?
Okay.
And her big night will happen tonight at 8 o'clock when ABC puts on the greatest one of them all, the Ten Commandments, right?
Right.
Right, okay, that's the greatest. Great show and a great movie and all that stuff. Cecil B. DeMille's the Ten Commandments. All right. Well, Jesus speaks, even in any of these biblical epics, when Jesus gives the Sermon on the Mount, okay, it's it looks like the most beautiful mountain in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
My wife's been there and says it's a piece of shit. It was probably even shittier 3,000 years ago.
Right.
Okay. But Hollywood makes it look like
it didn't have the hot dog stands.
Yeah, she said it was terrible. When she went there from Amsterdam and took to Israel, the first thing I said I wanted to go there, and they said, oh, this is it? This is where he gave Sermon on the Mount? You get this idea of what it's like when you read about it. You think it's just some beautiful place. This guy stood up there, gave this great political speech. And, the white robes and all that stuff. And Ben-Hur, whatever the movie you say, he gives a Sermon on the Mount. And Mount of Olives, right? You know what it's called? I think it's called the Mount of Olives, if I'm not mistaken. And my wife said it's a terrible, dumpy place. In East Jerusalem. Yuck. So
okay.
We're all prisoners of a... of our own imaginations, of the great novels, that fiction and nonfiction that have been done, documentaries, movies, and whatnot, and we get this great image of, of Christ and all that. Yet, like I said earlier, here we are, and somehow the Easter Bunny has hopped into the, has almost co-op, probably. I wonder what, here's one question for you, Simon. Who's more popular today, the Easter Bunny or Jesus Christ?
Oh, without doubt, the Easter Bunny.
Absolutely. I agree with you.
Yeah. And I mean, what would Easter be like without some Cadbury's cream eggs?
Right. I mean, is that not an interesting statement in itself?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, think about that. Most people are celebrating. They think of Easter. I think, you know, kids grow up. I don't think they think about Christ rising, you know, 3 days after he was crucified. They think of, what kind of chocolate am I getting today? Where's Grandpa going to hide the Easter eggs, you know, and the coins? I mean, it's a real, to me, it was just fascinating. My wife and I were walking our dog. You know, we never really thought about it. To us, because we don't have kids, and our grandkids go to over at somebody else's house, my son-in-law's house and whatnot. And so they celebrate it with the big, traditional, almost Thanksgiving-like dinner. You know what
right.
I mean? It's almost Thanksgiving-like huge dinner. And I'm thinking to myself, okay. Now, I think that's the holiday spirit of it. Now, I'm not going to take anything away from that, but are we celebrating the holiday of the Easter Bunny, or are we celebrating the holiday of the fact that Christ has risen, allegedly?
Well, right.
That's what I don't know.
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
You know, I look at the Bible, and I find nothing wrong with, you know, what it says. I believe that it is a great text, but is it truth or not? You know, most of it was written way after Jesus died.
Right.
Do you have any constructive thoughts on that?
Well, those that took the teachings I was brought up in an atheist household. I still am, okay? I've had my doubts about it, but as I've gotten older, I've moved back towards atheism with more of a zeal. I did have a time I thought, you know, I tried to get into be more spiritual and more leaning, but it just didn't work for me. I mean, I did try, you know, I talked to rabbis, I talked to Catholic priests, I talked to Lutheran, all of them. I talked to other people I had a lot of respect for, and I after about 5 years ago, I got kicked back into my atheist mode where I feel most comfortable. I was always brought up that Jesus Christ, or Jesus of Nazareth, was a rabbi who walked on this earth. I do believe Jesus lived, obviously. I also think Jesus was probably the first radical person to use religious beliefs, parables, and whatnot.
Well, it's actually interesting how Jesus came into existence.
I think he wanted to overthrow. I think Jesus was... They saw people wanted the Messiah. How long had the Jews been under the yoke of Rome for when Jesus was...
of the story of how Jesus actually came to be, right?
The what?
Of how Jesus came to be.
All right. Before you get into that, we have a caller from 815.
Oh, okay.
Would you care to give us your name?
Hello, my name's Rudy.
Hi, Rudy. Okay.
How are you doing today, sir? Well, the story of Jesus is easy. God was traipsing around, spreading hellfire and brimstone like he used to back in the day when he came across a rabbit. And since God cannot be denied, he took that rabbit against its will, and the rabbit later laid an egg. Mary wandered upon the egg and was told by an angel that it contained the seed of God. So she took it home to incubate it, but she knew that sitting on it, she'd crack it. So she pushed it up inside her vagina, and there Jesus formed, and she was able to give birth to Jesus while still remaining a virgin. I mean, that's why we celebrate the Easter egg and stuff. That's the actual pagan explanation to how Jesus came to be.
Okay. I like it so far. Sam, your thoughts on
he's coming,
Rudy?
Carly, for me, I'm only getting like one out of every three words you say, so it's probably a bad connection for my end or whatnot. But Simon, you're still coming in clear, but when the caller was making his points, I couldn't get everything he said. Could you translate for me what he said?
Okay, it involved bunnies, eggs, and shoving it... into a lady's vagina. Do I have that bit right, Rudy?
Well, it was Mary. That she was a virgin, so she incubated the egg inside her, like they do with magical eggs back in the day, back before magic was wiped out. That's why Jesus died. I mean, they wiped magic out. They cleared all of us of our sins. There was no more magic after Jesus died for us. But you got to get beyond the King James Bible to read into that. The Book of Enoch talks about the dragons being wiped out by Jesus.
Ah. You know, I hadn't considered dragons, for the program, but it sounds fun. So Jesus wiped the dragons out.
When he says dragons, do you mean literally dragons or dragons as a metaphor?
Our sins. He wiped out all our sins.
Oh, sins, okay. So he was in dragons. I have a bit different view of Jesus, and I think everyone's entitled to their own opinion of him. I think he had a ministry or a rabbi. He wanted to restore the temple to what it was under Solomon, not that what it turned into the first mall of its day. He wanted to. That's why he overthrew the money tables, what people were doing. He wanted to expose the priests for being the phonies that they were, and they knew that, and they knew they were going to lose their place at the trough, and they conspired with the Romans to. Have him crucified, just like to them, he was a threat to their livelihood, and just like many others, and that's never changed. And do I think Jesus wanted to just have a better better interpretation of man, turning out all those things that he said, wonderful things, the way to golden rule, great way to live, a great way to. For people to live amongst themselves, love thy neighbors, do all that stuff, to reinforce the Ten Commandments.
Oh, I totally agree. Jesus was like the ultimate troll to the Jews because the Jews were the chosen people. They were supposed to be the only people that went to heaven. Instead, Jesus stepped up and said, look, I know I'm an accident. God didn't purposely create me, but I am going to make it where we can all go to heaven. And the Jews are like, no, you can't do that. And Jesus is like, I'm the Son of God.
Well,
I can do
that. Some did, but I think I'm more of a conspiracy theory guy, Rudy, okay? So I believe that the only reason he was crucified, okay, other people, of course, will disagree with me, is that he was a threat to the status quo, big-time threat. Jews, if you remember Barabbas and others who was freed for him, they were, the Jews had, Rome hated what was Israel called back then? Simon, what was it called, Israel? What was it called? Wasn't Nazareth. What was it called? Not Palestine. They had another name for it.
Oh, I can't remember.
Yeah, but they called it something else, right? And the Romans and the Jews back then were in constant state of revolution, overthrow, whatnot. They just constantly, the Romans had it was interfering with their taxation, it was interfering with their trade. The Jews back there were so anti, Roman. Go look at the great siege of Masada, where all the Jews killed themselves as opposed to surrendering to the Romans after, sieges. And so the Romans, the powers that be, they had their puppet king, Herod, right? The puppet king Herod, who had his own things, and was so fearful. And this is actually historically accurate. So fearful of this Messiah being born, his father had killed all the firstborn Jews. Which is almost something that happened in the Old Testament, right? In Exodus with the Pharaoh, with killing the Jews. I mean, that happened way back then. Repeated itself in the New Testament with Herod. Simon, it's driving me crazy. I can't think of what the Romans called Israel back then.
That place.
That pain in the ass place. But I really believe that's why he was killed, because when he marched into the temple with 500 followers, which was probably a lot, on Palm Sunday, and overthrew the the money table, rightfully so, tried to turn that temple back into a synagogue, a temple, a house of worship that was for all, as you said, so everyone could go.
Apparently, fours is what it was.
The powers that be freaked out, and they set them up, in typical grandeur fashion, they bribed one of his followers, and the rest of, shall we say, and that's what happened. Other people, Simon pointed out, you found out earlier, took his works, his writings, his sermons, his speeches, I believe it was Peter, and he started expounding on that and writing it, and then it got translated to another country, to another country, to another country. The religious grew dramatically, and it became a sense of, I think Christianity became a sense of calmness, of in a sea of an island of calmness in a sea of craziness that was going on. Look at what's going on in Rome as Christianity was growing. What was going on in Rome at that time?
There was nothing good going on in Rome.
No, right? I mean, as Christianity grew up, when ethics and morality, and was teaching all this other stuff, love thy neighbors, and, do unto others, et cetera, live by the golden rule, and preaching about this guy who was the son of God, and this and that, the Romans were putting in the worst leaders of their days. They were Caligula, Nero. They were oppressing the heck out of...
They were having sex with little kids.
Yeah, I mean, everything. I mean,
raping,
feeding kids to the
lions. Homosexuality was running rampant.
Right, exactly. So they felt...
Blessing lions.
You know, right. So it was just a matter of time, where people could look to the... I mean Christianity, and also considered all the other pagan religions that were still going on. The barbarian... I mean, what do they call...
Scientology.
Yep. What did they call the Europeans? As Rome was falling from within... What did the Romans call, they were trying to kill all the Christians, who were they fearful of the most? A group called the Barbarians. Just the name itself was scary. They weren't barbarians.
The Gauls, the Thracians, they had them all in the gladiator arenas.
Yeah.
They were slaves.
The Barbarians were what? They weren't barbarians. They were freedom fighters trying to overthrow Rome and get them out of their country to get their
life
together.
Farmers and animals, sheep fuckers, basically.
Right. Okay. Rudy, I find much of the Bible, the best, apocryphal. I don't see anything bad about it. But
now,
you know,
for people out there that's not quite as intelligent as you, sir, yourself, sir, what did you mean by that word?
Okay.
I'm not saying I do or don't know the meaning of it, but there are others listening.
Oh, okay. I mean, how much of it is true? You know, how much can be researched, historical
research? Well, I can tell you how much of it's true if you're willing to listen to what science says.
Sure.
Science says this, that a memory is actually a altered thing. It's a new copy. When you remember something, you erase the old copy and create a new one. Enough times, a memory can be completely altered, different than what originally was. So if that is how our brain works naturally, how can we say anything from the past is true?
Yep, I agree with that. And what Sam said earlier, about the various translations, from Aramaic to Latin to English, and there's obviously been some slight mistakes made. Does something like the Dead Sea Scrolls add credibility, or does it lend more uncertainty?
Well, what do you question about the Bible is the best way to put it?
It's origin.
Are you saying it's impossible for a being more powerful and more intelligent than man to have did something to the planet and possibly altered life as we know it? Because that's what humans are planning to do with science, so it's kind of odd to say that something couldn't have done it before us.
No, not at all. I lean on the side of science because that's just me. I'm looking
in that part of science.
I'm looking for reasons to buy into the concept. And do the Dead Sea Scrolls add credence?
Does the Book of Enoch have credence, considering where it was found and what it says?
Okay. Do you know what the Dead Sea Scrolls are?
Yeah, do you know what the Book of Enoch is? Talking about God creating life elsewhere in the universe, that we're not that special, that he's done this numerous times throughout the cosmos, and he's just literally going around experimenting and creating things, and some things have souls and some things don't. Each one of us is a special experiment, but he's elsewhere doing other things. And it basically says it's true.
Okay, really, are you a fan of Douglas Adams and The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy?
I'm familiar with that book, yes.
Okay. Don't you think that, that there's some correlation here?
There could be correlation there if you're willing to believe that. I mean, it depends on how far you're willing to go with science. Science has said we're holograms. If we're holograms, obviously there's no real God in the sense that we're looking for.
Okay. Tell me what it is you're looking for.
What am I looking for?
Yeah.
I'm not looking for anything in particular. I mean, I've found what I need to find in life. I'm not out there searching still.
You're not searching. If
no.
You're not searching, you must have found. What have you found?
What have I found? I found 4chan.
Yeah. Okay.
It's a grimoire written from back in the days of King Solomon. It's about the different legion of anonymous demons that you can summon upon the cosmos and do mischief and mayhem. The trickster spirits. The shapeshifters of all religions and cultures. Mbuku,
okay.
The spider, the coyote. Loki.
Okay, that sounds good. I mean, at least you have a plan. Sam, I'd love to get your comments
on the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Universe.
Oh, and anything you like.
Anyway, thank you. I appreciate the call. Rudy, it's always fun to have somebody a different point of view to come in. I'm one of those guys, if you could, I know this is the simplistic answer, but, there was a time I always thought the most interesting thing that I had read in years, and then I followed it up, and that would have been about 11 years old when it came out, was 2001, A Space Odyssey. Not that I read it that age, but there was a book called Chariots of the Gods. Now, I don't know if you guys have ever read that. Simon,
oh,
I'm sure
yes.
You have.
Yes.
How the Stonehenge... The Easter Island things, and Easter Island had all those marks on those plateau up in Mexico City, just things that didn't exist back then. How do you explain them? And it was so interesting talking to people and listening to older people talk about them. How some people would never say, "Oh, there's no such things as aliens. There was something else that did that. It was God who did it as a superior being, et cetera, et cetera." It's always been fascinating to talk about that because those items are, need to be addressed. Stonehenge needs to be addressed. What was it? How'd they move the rocks like that? Those Easter Island statues, where'd they come from? How did people move things like that? Then, of course, our own country, where everyone didn't know there was life that existed, but life did exist, well, through our Native Americans and how they, the god that they prayed to, the gods of, you know, food, the sun, and all that, and not one, you know, and things of that nature, you know, no one ever explained that, you know, why life was going on in Jesus' time. There were people living all over the world. That's been documented. It wasn't just in, you know, in Israel and, you know, in the Middle East, Rome and not Middle East, Rome, Greece, and all that. There's people all over the place. But they've never been able to do the church of the gods thing except that. I mean, I think it's fascinating. But until I saw 2001 A Space Odyssey and the whole scene at the beginning of the movie with the obelisk and the ape and the brain and all that, it had an impact with me that still to this day is, did aliens come here and help? And I'm one of those, yep, you call me crazy, call me one of those guys who likes to listen to Art Bell, but it's a logical explanation because it cannot be explained, and it cannot be explained like the disappearance of Flight 370 can't be explained.
Right.
So, you know, so I mean, to me, you know, how do you just, you know, the technology didn't exist back then to build some of these structures. Now, was it a god that, the one god that people have come to accept in the majority of the world, that, you know, the Muslims say, no, it's their one God, and Allah is their prophet. The Christians say, no, it's our one God, and Jesus is the prophet. You know, I don't know. I mean, like I said, I'm an atheist. I don't think anybody could be that. I do see why. I do see why it happened. I do see why the powers that be of the time put this great novel, the Bible, together. Because everyone had, it's a lot easier to follow one God than it is to have 27 gods, which a lot of people did back then. If you read the great novel, The Search by James Michener, it explains a lot. You know, it was a lot easier to follow one God. They had gods for everything back in the, look at the Greeks. How many gods did they have? There was Neptune, Poseidon.
And they were horrible too.
It's a lot easier to follow one god. It's a lot easier to convince people there's only one superior being. So I understand all that stuff. You know, it's like you know, people can go, why did the Jews have a special diet? Well, if you think about how food preparation back
survival.
In the old days, eating pigs who were crawling around in mud and this and that wasn't pretty healthy. And the dietary things, you know, and that's what, it was. Now, I don't think it had anything to do other than a pure, better diet, that you probably got sicker if you ate a hog back in those days than you do nowadays. The pork was probably very tainted and tough to keep healthier.
Tainted with
for
what?
People to consume. So I understand.
As much pollution back then.
Huh?
There wasn't as much pollution back then. What would the pork be tainted with? The feces of other man?
The what? Again, Simon, can you interpret his? I'm only getting one out of every three words he says. Not specific, it's my.
I don't think it's.
Is my mic messed up, Simon?
Okay, I'll translate. You know, what was sullying the pigs? The feces of man?
Probably a little bit of everything. I mean, they were, you know, how were they kept? I mean, come on, most people in those days, what, the pigs probably came into the house with some people, right? I mean, it wasn't well, they weren't well cared for as they are now. Sheep were probably.
But pigs are clean animals.
Pigs back then probably weren't clean animals. They wallowed in shit.
Be cleaner from living with the Jews or something? I'm confused about this.
No. I'm just trying to say, if you look at the rabbis in their day started to put together a different sort of diet, as many ethnic groups have. You know, a lot of people, you know, but way back then, I think it had to deal with why didn't they eat pork? Because I think the pork was probably tougher for them to digest, to make healthy or whatnot. Or maybe the sight of pigs wallowing around in their own shit terrified the people who made the dietary laws. I don't know. I wasn't there back then. But I try to put myself in their positions to try to understand what they were doing. As one of my great professors always said, who's a big proponent of the Native Americans being taking it up the wazoo from a white man for the hundreds of years, but you got to put yourself in other people's moccasins before you can really understand what they did. And you can only do that by actually putting yourself in your own Wayback Machine, not thinking in the year 2014 with our mindsets and our own propaganda, and actually trying to go back to the year 2000 and saying, how did people live back then? Now, why would they see, and if they lived and they saw, and pigs weren't a healthy meal, why would you want to eat something if they knew it wasn't healthy? Like today, Rudy, I don't eat stuff from a company called Monsanto, okay, because it is poisoning us. So why couldn't people do that same thing 2,000 years ago? I think they could. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. I want to move on. Rudy, you're welcome to stay with us if you want. I want to talk about a subject that's much more important than pork. Sam, did you realize that the FDA is probably going to cause a rise in the cost of beer?
In beer?
In beer?
In beer. No, please educate me.
Okay.
All right, I'm back. I got a beer and I got my pants off. Let's get this rolling.
Right. Okay, here's the deal. Brewers have a lot of mash, as they call it. Yeah, it's grains that are used in the brewing process, and that there's this wonderful supply chain and cheap. The brewers want to get rid of the grains, you know, because they have no use for them anymore.
Give it to the Native Americans. They can get drunk off of it while they make their bread from it.
But the farmers, on the other hand, need, you know, food for their animals. So I believe the current rate is $30 a ton. And you know, the animals love it. It's high protein levels. But the FDA wants to stop this. They're claiming that you know, the use of grains from breweries is a bad idea. I mean, Sam, the cost of our beer could skyrocket.
Yes.
How much are we talking?
What's the rationale behind them doing this? Besides, someone's got to make some money.
Oh well. This is all part of a 2012 executive order by Obama, trying to prevent outbreaks of food poisoning.
Eek!
What does that have to do with food poisoning?
Well, I'm not really sure. I think the broad scheme is that, well, if there was something wrong with the grain that the brewer is using, it might be passed along to the animals, and that in turn might be passed along to us folks eating the animal. Personally, I think this is a pile of hogwash, but...
But you don't want to talk about pork anymore.
Oh, well, it's not just pigs. Cattle really like it. I mean, cattle yum up the mash, and it's full of protein, and the farmers really love it because the cattle get fat and tasty.
The beer people, it's gonna raise up the price of beer, so because of whatever they're doing, it gets of course, you know.
Of course, he doesn't. You don't even remember what it's doing, and you said, "Of course."
I'm just completely lost on the whole story. You know, I see nothing wrong with livestock eating leftovers from beer manufacturing.
Right. Probably the beer manufacturers don't like it for some reason, right? Or they want it so they can jack the prices up.
No.
It's just like stray cats and dogs.
No,
there's 3 to 4 million stray cats and dogs killed every year. I'm serious, 3 to 4 million stray cats and dogs killed a year. We could butcher those and send them to the countries and cultures that are starving that already eat that kind of meat. Why aren't we doing it?
Well, personally, with so many hungry mouths already here in the U.S., I don't see the reason to, export the cats and dogs elsewhere. You know, if it's well marinated, cat, well, it's the other white meat.
Mm-hmm. And horse, there's nothing wrong with eating horse. Why can't we eat horse when they die?
The French eat it all the time. Nothing wrong with it. Well, it's a bit stringy. I have tried it, but it's
higher in protein.
Yeah. I'm a bit like the guy on TV. There's not much I won't try. And, there's nothing wrong with horse.
Have you ever tried blue waffles?
Have I tried what?
Blue waffles.
Okay, give me a clue.
That's something I bet you would need. It's blue waffles. Just go Google it, type in blue waffles under Google image search.
All right. I quite like prairie oysters. Have you come across prairie oysters?
Are they the same as mountain oysters?
Yeah. I mean, they're absolutely delicious.
Yes, until you're told what they are after you've been eating them for a long time as a child.
And Sam, have you tried prairie oysters?
No.
Okay.
No, it's not interesting, but like you, Simon, most of the time I'll try anything at least once because it's really not fair not to, just do that. I mean, I still remember the first time I had escargot. I had to try it. I didn't like it, and although the sauce after the sauce that it was cooked in was actually better than the snail, and it was great for dipping bread in, but I would not go out of my way to have escargot again. Now, if I was forced to have to eat a snail because of the zombies overrunning the world supply and we're running out of food to eat, and I came across some snails for survival, I would eat one. But as far as me ever going to a restaurant to order snails, not going to happen. So snails, you're safe.
Okay.
I wouldn't advise that. Sheep, they're not all edible.
Sheep and bulls' balls. I mean, that's essentially prairie oysters in unwrapped form.
I mean, I had rattlesnake.
Well, do you know what taurine is?
I had rattlesnake once, and it tasted like chicken. I hate that. It's funny. All the stuff tastes like chicken, not snail. But I had rattlesnake once when I was out west, and surprisingly, it was pretty damn good.
Oh,
not
yeah.
that I would want to go
taurine
eat another
is a chemical,
rattlesnake again.
they inject, they withdraw taurine. It's spelled T-A-U-R-I-N-E. They take it from bull semen and the muscles of other bovines. And originally, that's what energy drinks was made with, Red Bull and all them, before they started making synthetic taurine. Now they have the disclaimer that you're not actually drinking anything extracted from a bull. But back in the beginning, it was.
I believe that. I'm glad they have a disclaimer, aren't you?
Yeah, now when you look it up, it means it got around enough that they're like, nah, it's not made from the real stuff anymore. Just synthetic bull semen.
Yeah, they got this.
I think it sucks. Yeah, I like the real thing.
I'm sure you did.
Okay.
It's just fresh organic.
Let's move on. Sam, I'm really interested in your thoughts. Glenn Greenwald has received a Pulitzer Prize for his Snowden leaks. So has the Washington Post. Is this a good move or a bad move?
Absolutely a wonderful move. I'm shocked that I'm so happy for the two newspapers for receiving the awards for real, because they actually did some real journalism. I think the Snowden story was the biggest story of the year and continues to be it, and as we find out more and more about how our government is spying on us and selling secrets to the highest bidder, and then they're doing even more stuff, and then just trying to control our thought process and the propaganda that's against Snowden. And I think that those two newspapers and those reporters did their job. They did a damn good job doing their job. And I haven't seen investigative journalism and ballsy reporting like this. I'd have to go back to Watergate. The majority of the, unless it's online, unless it's something that's broken online, but for consistent putting your ass on the line, stuff out there that's an important issue to get Americans to talk about, people to read and listen, I haven't seen anything in a long time, because the majority of the news is so propagandized. They're not reporters anymore, they're repeaters. In this case, it was reported, and I applaud the people who did that work, and I hope Snowden continues to shine that light on that dark subject.
I agree. I'd also have to put out that one. Spider-Man outed himself as Peter Parker. I mean, you wouldn't see Superman doing that.
Okay, Rudy, I'll try this a second time. What do you think about the Pulitzer Prizes and Snowden being heralded as a hero rather than a heretic?
Well, that's a hard thing to have an opinion of, considering when you sign a contract with any internet service provider, it says that they are monitoring, recording, and giving it to the cops. And that's been since the beginning of the internet. That's why you have to hide your own stuff. So what he exposed really has been going on forever, and you kind of accept it being an American. You know it's happening. You don't like it, but you can't do anything about it because they're going to do it. They'll cancel one thing, and all you're doing is wasting taxpayer dollars by throwing a bigger fit about it, because they're going to keep doing it. They just find a different way of doing it.
You're avoiding the question. And the question is simple. Is Snowden a hero or a heretic?
Well, I don't think he's a heretic, but I don't really think he's a hero either.
Okay. How would you view him?
He's a publicity whore. He could have released the information anonymously and kept himself out of trouble, but he wanted that spotlight. He wanted that trouble. He wanted hailed as a hero. So, yeah, coming from the internet, I don't quite see him as a hero. I see him as an attention whore. It's cool that he outed it. Do I think it's going to ever change anything? Not really.
Okay.
Does that answer the question better? I wasn't purposely avoiding it.
Sure. That sort of answers it. This week there was another revelation that I don't believe involves Snowden. The NSA and something called the Heartbleed virus. I was very pleased to see that Obama has dictated that the NSA must report software bugs to the companies involved. Well, unless they don't want to. I thought this was delightful. Sam, did you spot that story?
I bit some pieces of it. If it's coming out of Washington and it has to deal with the NSA, I just gloss over. I don't read it. It's all propaganda. If it's something criticizing them and what they do, then I'll be more apt to read it and pay attention to it, because I think Rudy brings up a great point. It has been going on. Those of us who didn't think it was going on got a whack across the head by Snowden's revelations and now realize it's going on, and hopefully something good will come out of it. But Rudy, I tend to, unfortunately, I'm pessimistic that anything will happen because of the amounts of dollars that are involved to keep spying on us, whether it's to keep people in government, lofty government positions that pay well, or the internet that's what I'm looking for, profiteering from this and selling the numbers, because they originally went along with it. That's what kills me, is that when they originally were complying with secret warrants for a secret court to provide documents, and they didn't say diddly squat until Snowden came out of the woodwork. And now all of a sudden they were shocked. It's like that scene from Casablanca where the captain comes out, he's shocked to find out there's gambling going on in the back room at Rick's Cafe. And no sooner did he say that, the blackjack dealer goes, "By the way, here you're winning, sir." They're shocked that all this was going on. And they're partaking in it, probably getting tax breaks, probably selling information, and they were getting something for it. For cooperating with the Obama administration and the NSA and the CIA and the Bush administration before that, Microsoft, Facebook, and all those other companies got something for it, probably a tax break, probably they were allowed to suck back some of the money that they've been sticking in offshore accounts at 2% income tax as opposed to 35%. Whatever. They got something. Big money doesn't do anything in this country without big government knowing it, and they're working in tandem. And like I said, I'm glad.
Exactly.
The wrinkle to the Snowden thing is, I think now, the big wrinkle is, he's in Russia, and the Cold War is starting again. Now, I don't know how that's going to play out. I don't think the United States or even Russia knows how it's going to play out. But it certainly took a different turn over the weekend, didn't it, Simon?
Oh, indeed. You and I are of similar faith, shall we say, albeit very different faiths. I'm very concerned about recent events. I'm relatively well read on the events of the Second World War, and that leaflet that got passed out in eastern Ukraine sounded just like something from the Nazi regime. Didn't you think so?
Oh, absolutely. And, people have to realize, as I was talking earlier about going back to the 2000, going back in 2000, you got to go back into the 1940s after Hitler invaded, the war started. The Ukraine was the site. Poland was the first place where the most people were exterminated, and if you had to rank them, the second area where the Nazis had a lot of help and killing Jews and gypsies and Russian prisoners of war, mostly Jews, of course, was in the Ukraine. The Ukrainian is the most anti-Semitic part of the Soviet Union. It was anti-Semitic back then, and it is now. And, I mean, just the massacre at Babi Yar was one of the worst massacres that ever took place. And it was done, yet the Nazis ordered it, but the most, and they had troops, their own killing machines out there, but they were aided and abetted by about 50,000 Ukrainian volunteers into the Nazis. And you know, so anti-Semitism has long been there. I'm shocked there's any Jews still living there, but there are. I get a substantial big Jewish community there now. And these leaflets going around definitely smack of Nazism, register everything but the Yellow Star. The interesting thing is, who's doing it? And no one seems to know who's doing it. Now, is it Ukrainians doing it? Because they all have the same uniform. We talked about this how many times, Simon. They all wear the same uniforms. They all have a black mask on, right? You can't, because they have them on tape from the synagogue passing out stuff on Friday, right?
Right.
Right, we've seen it. We've seen the tape. That, I have seen, I can't tell you since this Ukrainian crisis started, untoned videos, amounts of video of men in camouflage uniforms with a black stocking cap over their face. So I don't know who they are because there's no insignias anymore. You don't know who. Everyone dresses the same. It's like the Civil War. You knew who the Confederates were. They were in gray. The Union was in blue. Now it's different. And they all have that, and they're passing the stuff out. The Ukrainians are saying it's the pro-Russian separatists who are doing it, therefore they're bad, this and that. The Russians now are saying, no, it's Ukrainian agents trying to get people to blame the Russian separatists. It's really the Ukrainians doing that in order to get more United States support and whatnot to do this. And I can see both sides' points of view because Putin over the years has made a substantial diplomatic move towards Israel more than I've ever seen any other Russian leader do. Is it a joke? Is it a smokescreen? I don't know. Time will tell, obviously. But you don't see that happening in Russia under Putin, but you do under the Putin. But we now see it in Ukraine. But the history of the Ukraine, as of course the Soviet Russia, is tons of anti-Semitism, but more so in the Ukraine. Especially after World War II and before that. So it is an interesting question, along with the fact that now they're really starting to shoot at each other. So then, you know, something's going to happen because, you know, we got these guys, the Russian separatists are getting stronger and bigger and taking over more buildings and more cities. They told the EU and the United States to F off on Friday, right? So we're not leaving.
Yep.
We don't recognize the Kiev government, and the Kiev government couldn't even amount an anti-terrorist attack. What they call it? Hey, these guys are terrorists. We're going to kick them out of the buildings. And they ended up having to turn. They ended up having to turn in their weapons to a bunch of. They had tanks, machine guns, and whatnot. And those Ukrainian soldiers refused to fire on fellow citizens. They left. But today, I guess there was a bunch of firefights all over the place, and a lot of people have been killed, mostly pro-Russian separatists, it appears. So I believe. Are you going to see Vlad the Putin and those 100,000 troops marching westward?
Yeah, I am mostly in agreement with you.
Again, I don't know who's but I'm just amazed that somebody sat there in some room, whether they're the Ukrainian people or the pro-Russian people, and said, let's antagonize, let's make some news. Let's put these leaflets out and make Jews register. I mean, you know, right out of the Nuremberg Laws, right?
Oh,
I mean, just crazy.
Absolutely.
I mean, and it happened, and it's just amazing to me. And these guys are out because they're carrying machine guns. They have fatigue. They have the black masks on, and they're out passing out leaflets like this. And in the year 2014, but it's happening. You know, mm-hmm. and it also shows something because I was teaching some of my kids on Thursday. I wish I was going back there this next week, but I'm in another school system. That history repeats itself, especially to those who ignore it. Because there are a lot of Holocaust deniers out there. There are a lot of people who didn't say anything. And as the World War II generation ages and dies, and it gets pushed farther and back in our history books, and people don't talk about it. People forget. They don't realize it happened. And here we are, wham. So talk about having your face rubbed in something. I mean, this is huge.
Okay, Rudy, I know you called in on
yes,
a completely different subject, but do you have any thoughts on what is going on in Ukraine?
Well, it's actually interesting that in the media we're watching movies about places like Cobra and Hydra, who are doing similar things that damn near mirror what we're doing over there and our involvement with those two. So it's almost like the Jews are getting us ready for something, if you believe the Jewish conspiracy that they run Hollywood and they're trying to take over their main country and they're going to use Russia to get rid of the others.
Hmm. Okay.
I mean, you don't...
And sorry, Rudy, there was a temporary audio problem. What were you saying?
Which part didn't you hear?
All of it.
All of it? Well, I was saying it was interesting that in media and pop culture right now, we're watching movies about Cobra and Hydra attacking and doing similar things as what's going on over there with Russia and the Jews. I mean, some people would even say, if you believe the Jewish conspiracy, that they run Hollywood and all that, that they're doing it on purpose to take all their land over soon, and they're going to use Russia to get rid of them, and then it's going to start war with us over the Middle East, but the Jews are going to be safe, and they're going to get all their kingdom back. And they're going to manipulate all of us into helping it happen.
Hmm. Okay, that's an interesting idea. Sam, any comments?
Well, I guess that the, I don't know. On that one, no, I think that, isn't that one of the things that the fundamentalists teach, that all the Jews have to go back to Israel, the biblical part of Israel, and then that's the beginning of Armageddon. Am I right about that, you guys?
Yeah.
Okay, so but right now there's probably more Jews in Manhattan than there are in all of Israel. And I don't think any of them are leaving. I don't think any of them are leaving pretty soon. So I don't know if that's ever going to happen. I know some people, you know, believe in that and what have you. But I think what we've got here is we've got these another reason. This is this thing in Ukraine. You know, started in the Crimea. He now controls that. Now he has Eastern Europe, the eastern part just about. He has a ton of troops on his border. The sanctions we're using against them aren't working, aren't going to work, and I think he's going to take over that country, and he wants to see how far he can push. I think until, and I don't want, with my son in the military, I do not want open up, I don't want the United States or NATO, which is really us, over there. If they can't take care of it themselves and it breaks into a civil war, it's our business to stay out of it. You know, I think Putin and his people, his oligarchy, they want to jack the prices up of natural gas, probably scare the crap out of Western Europe about gas prices and all the other natural resources. He's still making a fortune selling weapons to the Arab world. He wants to continue to do that, and I think he wants to show the Arabs, hey, I'm your guy. Buy your weapons from me. Buy your planes from me. Buy your oil from me. That dude, the America is a paper tiger now, and I think he wants to rebuild, you know, and expand his borders. He has goods to sell. He has to show that he can do it. And I think you look at what he's done in the Ukraine, taking Snowden in. I mean, he's really rubbed Obama's nose in it. What has Obama done? I think they put a couple. They said they kicked him out of the G7 and he joined the Big Ten. I mean, he doesn't care. I mean, what has he done? I mean, he is pushing the proverbial envelope, and he's going to continue to do that because he can.
Right. I'm looking at the clock. It's ticking down. I want to ask you one last question before we wrap up. the midterm elections are just around the corner. And I am somewhat surprised that everything is so quiet right now. When do you think the eyeball and oral assault will begin?
After Labor Day.
After Labor Day. And then the gloves come off.
Yes, and let's with a butt. The butt being, if something happens, you know, like a possible war in Ukraine, something huge happens. That's always the butt. Then you'll see it come off. But I don't see it. They're all out campaigning. Heck, I don't think they come back for another couple of weeks during the Easter break. They're all out campaigning. They'll spend the whole summer out campaigning, to the kissing their ass to their constituents, raising money from the people who own them, and then come Labor Day, they'll be doing it. So right now, I think they're in that jockeying mode. They're finding people, they're identifying the 20 seats they have to win, the 12 seats they have to win. And those might see a little bit more. We won't see them because they're not in my part of the woods in Ohio. You might, Simon, maybe there's a competitive race
out there.
Yeah, wherever the competitive races are, they'll probably see them come Memorial Day. But everybody else won't see it till Labor Day because the incumbents are all going to win for the most part, except for those 20
seats. Sam, where I live, if you wear a blue shirt...
Where do you live?
Mississippi.
Where are you from, Rudy?
Where am I from? I'm from the Internet, sir.
Oh. Okay, I can look up area code
815. You could, yes.
I mean, round here, you know, wearing a blue shirt is a danger sign.
There's no Democrat around here wearing a red shirt is. So that's that too. So we live in my.
So you guys got to worry, even in your older age, you got to worry about the Bloods and the Crips getting at you.
Worry about the what?
Bloods
and the
Crips.
Those are the colors of the Bloods and the Crips.
Yeah,
blue and red. That's the color of the Bloods and the Crips. You're talking about if you wear blue outside, you're going to get shot. He said if he wears red outside, he's going to get shot. What the heck? That's the Bloods and the Crips you're talking about.
Yeah, or Democrats and Republicans, but the same thing. Your point is well made and taken.
Okay, folks, I need to wrap this up. Rudy, it's been
yes, sir.
Great to talk to you.
Well, it's been a pleasure.
Do you have a parting thought for us?
Are you still there?
Yeah.
Hello? Oh, I'm...
Yep.
I'm hello?
Right. A parting thought.
Hello, okay, there it is. There it is. I can hear
you. You know, like something like live long and prosper.
I don't have a passing fart. Live long and prosper, we're not Vulcans now.
No, that's a parting thought. I was giving you an example.
I'm not a Wookiee. I'm
okay.
Just a cat calling from the Internet. I don't know what your problem is. Why have you been so... Why is he so mean to me? I have not done anything wrong to him.
I don't know.
You've been so...
Okay. Sam.
I enjoyed you calling in and listening. I'm sorry. I only got some of the words you said. There was some, it might have been on my phone. Simon, you were coming in crystal clear. He was coming in like a couple weeks ago when we had that bad audio or whatever. So I'll have my phone checked out. Anyway, I want to tell it. Thank you, Tom. Great time. We carried the show, as usual. I hope you have a wonderful week.
Never trusted
say,
you. That I just got to say that to all the listeners out there. You do not want to trust any kind of Jewish person with any kind of your finances, your children, anything of the sort. They're in cahoots with the new aliens. They've been trying to kill us all. They're using cattle to make...
Okay. I think he just lost his marbles.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know what? There's a lot out there. At least we kept him away from doing anything serious harm today, right? Maybe we helped him a little. And I do want to say, rest in peace, Reuben Hurricane Carter.
Oh, indeed.
A great story, and I'm glad he was, you know, he suffered. He suffered for some other people's sins, as they say. And,
right.
I'm glad he got out and his story got told, and he'll always be remembered with that great Dylan song. So are you going to let Rudy, where was Rudy from, did he say, Simon?
Oh, no. Area code 815. I'm going to look it up.
Okay, go ahead, do that and send me an email. Thanks a lot.
I
had a great time today.
Okay. Later, Gator.
Enjoy the rest of your pagan holiday.
Ryan, and you.
Tell Jan. It's really. Let me see. It's Edward G. Robinson is my favorite character because he sounds so Egyptian when he's talking tonight.
Right.
Who's the Messiah now? That's my Edward G. Robinson imitation. Okay. See,
okay.
I'll be on next week after that. Next weekend, I'm taking a weekend off.
Okay. Talk to you soon. Bye.